Who wins the Big Bash? Find out on Cricket Only Better.
What an innings, what a player. Take a bow, Ben Stokes.
Brian Charles Lara becomes the first man in the history of the game to register a score of 400.
Six sixes in an over. Yuvraj Singh finishes things off in style.
England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Betfair Betting Podcast presents Cricket Only Better.
It's Bashmas Eve, everybody's favourite time of the year, and this is episode 59 of Cricket Only Better. I'm mince pie-eyed for the Franchise League, which puts a bulge in everybody's stocking. Stop me, Sam Collins, before I say something worse.
It's enough to make anybody want to neck their entire body weight of mull, Ed Hawkins. I did fear a return to these types of intros, but fear not, I'm well-versed in being the Scrooge to your father Christmas. After all, this is a serious business, Ed Hawkins. It's part two of our Big Bash preview, and I expect you to treat it as such. Pat Noon, Cricket's analyst, will be here delving into his database, trying to find us some value. And here you are on the Christmas sauce.
Not the Christmas sauce, the Bashmas sauce.
Anyway, Pat's back. And now this is the top four in the betting. He's going to tell us who wins this thing. And we've got value fix for the top bat and top bowler markets. And of course, the denouement, our best bet section at the end of the show. How did we go last week?
Oh, roaring back. Absolutely roaring back to form. Big, big week for the best bets. Lots of updates because we've had series finishes since we were last in your ears. We'll remember we previewed the ODI and T20 series in South Africa and Australia respectively. So to update you on that, losers on Quinton de Kock Tox series, South African bat, Kohli, top India bat. We had a dead heat on the Gidi, and we also had a winner 2-1 for Australia to win that ODI series at 15-8. But a nice one, big winner on Rahul, top run scorer in the first T20, meaning that cancel the turkey, order a goose, we're plus 8.61.
Well, it all now makes sense. Hopefully Miss Buster will calm you down, Ed Hawkins. It's Graham Swan this week.
Oh, it's Mythbuster, everybody's favourite part of the week. This is where we take a legend of the game and we find out whether he would have won you money on ODI cricket to £10 level stakes to win his discipline. This week it's Graham Swan. How much money would you want him to be top England wicket taker in the ODIs? Any anecdotes about Graham Swan? I can't believe you're going to say no.
I want to hear, I'm sure you have better anecdotes. I genuinely can't think of anything interesting I've got to say about Graham Swan. So go on, tell me what you've got.
Well, he's often late, but he's quite an entertaining chap to have around the place. It's not, it's never a dull moment with Graham Swan. So a good bloke, betting.betfair colleague, of course.
That, if ever, that was a glimpse behind the curtain. Ed Hawkins, that is, you know, we need more of those types of anecdotes.
Don't we just? I think that's what got to be the worst anecdote we've had yet. And there have been some
He's a lovely guy. He's a bit late every so often.
What a guy. So would he have won you money on betting him for ODI cricket? You've got 4-1 average odds from Betfair Sportsbook. Sam, what do you reckon?
I just spotted that he only played 79 one-day internationals, which... you know, I'm going to say that surprises me, and it also is going to suggest that he didn't do that well, so I'm going to say no, he didn't win this money.
And not only 79 games, one of them was a washout, so he didn't bowl in one of them, meaning we've got 78 wagers to account for. He had 9 wins, he had 6 dead heats with one other, he had 5 dead heats with 4 others. As I said, 4-1 from Betfair's Stuart Conroy. He had an 11.5% outright win rate. So actually had a win rate more like an 8-1 chance.
Ooh.
So look, he's minus 154. However, the strategy for Swan would to have been to bet him in Asia. 6 of the first 9 were winners in Asia. So that was the way to bet him. But a loser overall. Where does it put him on our charts?
it puts him just, you know, not the worst by any means. That's Murali, minus 1,435. Tendulkar, minus 1,300. Ganguly, minus 295. Swan, minus 154. Shane Warne, minus 4.93. So, you know, not easy to turn a profit being a spinner in this game. Who are we looking at next week? Should we try and find another spinner?
Yeah, let's try and find another spin bowler to get us a winner on, so we can pick our best value ODI.
Who do you reckon? Maybe Harbhajan?
Harbhajan would be an interesting shout. I do feel we need to be having an anecdote to, you know, bolster the section, to bolster the buster as well. Do you have a Harbhajan anecdote?
I've got nothing.
Oh, OK. let's go with Harbhajan. In that time, we'll make up an anecdote. And it'll be amazing. Harbhajan Singh is your Mythbuster next week. The Big Bash starts on December the 10th. Who is going to win the thing? Will it be back-to-back wins for the Sixers? Can Stars finally land the title? Will Perth return to glory? Pat Noon from CricViz is here to give us the answers. Welcome back, Pat.
Hello, guys.
Pat, you sound as psyched as I am for this. let's remind ourselves of the outright odds first from Betfair Sportsbook. Favourites, Stars at 10-3, followed by the Sixers at 9-2, Strikers at 5s, Perth Scorchers, the same price, that's 5s, Heat 6-1, Hurricanes 7-1, Renegades 8-1, Thunder at 10-1. Coming to you in a second, Pat, but Ed, you've got some housekeeping.
Yeah, just a reminder that it is the top five who qualify for the playoffs. Top
of course two, it is.
Yeah, of course. Top
Logical.
Teams. Top teams will get two. The top two teams will get two chances to make it to the final if they lose their first playoff, rewarding league form. The eliminator is between the fourth and fifth league finishers, designed to keep things alive for longer, but also arguably rewarding mediocrity.
Couldn't possibly comment. Last week, Pat, we went through those bottom four in the betting, but before we look at the top four, a word on the Hurricanes, who could be without Matthew Wade for a reasonable chunk because of David Warner's injury. Plus, the Renegades have signed 2020 specialist Benny Howell. Essentially, can either of these changes make a big difference to their fortunes?
Yeah, I think Wade is a big loss to the Hurricanes. I think I said last week I like the look of their squad, but him not being there is a real blow. And that said, they still have Darcy Short and some more firepower down the order with the likes of Hanscom and Ingram coming in. And maybe this will give Milan a chance to open the batting when he joins the team. As for Howell, I think, yeah, he's become something of a cult figure on the T20 circuit without ever quite getting the deals in these leagues. He's had a bit of BPL experience, but nothing in, you know, IPL or here that some feel he might deserve. Yeah, he'll be a handy option with his variations. And he's a similar kind of signing to when the Renegades brought in Harry Gurney with great success a couple of years back. But I think overall he's a downgrade on Mohamed Nabi, who he'll be replacing for the first couple of games. So I think the Renegades will be stronger once Nabi comes in.
All right, Pat, let's start going through these teams. I'm going to start with Perth Scorchers. 5-1 to win it, 5-2 to reach the final. Used to be unbeatable, 1-3 of the first six, but 8th and 6th in the last 2 years. How do they shape up this time?
Yeah, I think it's more likely that Livingston will be down the order with Inglis, Roy and Munro making up the top three in one way or another when they're at full strength. Though Roy and Livingston are set to miss the first three games, but they have got depth even without them. They look strong with the man of the moment, Cam Green, in there with Bancroft and Mitch Marsh and Ashton Turner as well. So yeah, this looks like one of the strongest squads in the tournament. They were already one of the highest scorers at the death last year with a run rate of 10.10. And there's no reason why that won't be repeated. I don't think they haven't lost anyone obvious that's going to affect that. And then now with Roy and Munro in at the top to fix the other end of the innings, I think they're going to take some beating.
Worth discussing the importance of bowling units in these franchise leagues, Pat. You've got to have all bases covered to win a title. Do Perth have that? Because on paper it seems so, with Fouad as spinner, and they've got incredible pace variation. What do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I think you've got the pace of Jai Richardson, the left arm of Jason Behrendorf, the leg spinner Fouad, as you say, and then Agar's left arm orthodox as well. And then you've also got, you know, genuine options with people like Mitch Marsh and Ashton Turner. That looks pretty complete, and the chances are that they won't be affected by international call-ups much either. So if they can all stay fit, which is a bit of an if, because Richardson and Behrendorf have had pretty sketchy injury records in the past, albeit they have got Joel Parris, who could come in as well. So yeah, if they stay fit, we could well see them recover that form that they had before they left the whack-up.
Okay, lovely stuff. Adelaide Strikers next. They're fives to win, 21-10 to reach the final, 15-2 to finish bottom. I suspect that means Ed doesn't fancy them, as he's put that in the script. Ed, Pat, are they contenders?
I'm not convinced, to be honest. I think even though Dan Worrell, I think, is a good signing, and he might help to address their issue of taking wickets in the power play, which they struggled to do last year. But beyond that, I think their batting looks a little bit light without Travis Head, who will obviously be with Australia for a big chunk of it. Carey and Weatherald have shown they can do it, but it looks like they'll be going with Matt Renshaw at the top, which is a bit of an underwhelming choice, I think, given his strike rate is around 122 across the first 15 overs. So it might be a case of batting around Phil Salt, who goes about 155 in that phase, but it just doesn't feel like they've quite got the right balance there.
Yeah, I really don't like Adelaide. I don't know who's going to score their runs apart from Phil Salt. And on that point about Phil Salt, he might be worth following for top strikers, tournament run scorer, because Alex Carey is going to go off very, very short favourite of 5-4, but we don't think he's going to open. Phil Salt 7-2. You can also lay strikers for 1.5 to finish in the top five. I don't know what you think about Pat, whether that's a decent bet.
Yeah, I think, I can't see them. They seem to have dropped off a little bit from where they were a couple of years ago. They don't quite have that firepower down the order or the sort of real quality seam attack, particularly to take enough wickets. So I think, yeah, they're just going to be found a little bit wanting.
Next up, the Sixers, the holders, second favourites this year at 9-2, benefit every year from fresh players after the Test Series ends. So two different squads, really, to get hold of, Pat. Start us with the sort of team they'll put out at the start of the tournament and then in the playoffs, which presumably they will qualify for, you'd imagine.
Yeah, I think the big question is who they'll open with, given they tried four opening combinations last year and the highest opening stand they put up was 75, which so no other team had a lower highest score, if that makes sense. I'd be tempted to go with Philippi and Vince and then maybe have a middle order of Daniel Hughes, Moses Enriques and Jordan Silk, and then let the hitters of Dan Christian and Carlos Brathwaite come in. That looks pretty solid, if maybe a bit hit and miss. But it should nonetheless be enough to get to the finals in this competition, I think. And then bowling-wise, they're now without Tom Curran, who's gone home with bubble fatigue. And then Sean Abbott has, I think he's got international commitments. So Ben Dorsius is going to be doing a lot of heavy lifting with the death bowling. Brathwaite bowls there a lot, but has an economy of 11.5 in the last couple of years. So that could be a potential weakness in a defending champions lineup. But yeah, overall, I'd be surprised if they don't at least make the top five.
I think the horse has bolted with Sixers, 1.91 to qualify last year. They're now 1.28. They're also 3.2 to make the final. Those are Betfair exchange prices. And as Pat said, Tom Curran's pulled out. Possible weakness on overseas players. Maybe James Vince has a lot of pressure on him. But I'm not sure we're going to be going with Sixers. And I think we can move on to the Stars. Sam, with you.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, can we get the favourites beat Ed Hawkins? Stars runners-up last year, of course, runners-up the year before, runners-up three times in all, and they've made the semi six times. Won the league last year, blew it at the last. If I remember, the Oracle, according to Ed Hawkins, said they may have lost their nerve. I think you were raging about that, weren't
raging.
You?
Raging. I still am raging.
You tip them to win it?
Yeah, raging about it. I am sick of them.
As must the punters be too. So they're 5-2 to win it this year. Pat, yes or no?
I think short answer no, purely because I think they look slightly weaker than they did last year, and I think the Sixers don't look much weaker than they did last year, and the Scorchers certainly look stronger than they do. So I think the Stars still look quite strong, but they'll just be a couple of better teams than them, so they won't get over the line again, unfortunately for them.
How much does
Pat
that?
Moon has said it.
Yeah,
he heard it first.
He's called it. But how much does that near so far record play on the mind of a camp, Pat? I mean, you've been with teams. Do you think it has any impact? What's happened before? What's gone before?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to really say. Like, it shouldn't do really. The team that lost last year's final didn't have many survivors from, say, the 2016 final when they first lost. But you do wonder if it's something the players start to think about in crunch moments. Here we go again, sort of feeling. I don't know if it is a factor. It probably won't have helped that the Stars women's team lost to the WBBL final as well this year. So that only added to the list of Stars final defeats. So yeah, maybe you do start to worry, is this something to do with the DNA of the club rather than anything within my control? But I mean, I don't know. I think elite sportsmen and women probably don't.
Is that a come and get me plea, Pat? Saying, get me in, change the mentality of your club from top to bottom. I can do that for you.
Well, I'd have a bit of a fight on, given that Ben Jones, my colleague, is currently the Stars analyst, so a bit awkward, yeah.
The thing is with Stars is what they tend to do, and this is also a bit of the DNA of a team who's going to blow it at the end. They start, if they're running away with it, they start experimenting, and sort of playing fast and loose with momentum, reckoning they can turn it on willy-nilly. And that's what happened to Stars last year. And they started picking funny teams and they paid for it. But they don't have Lamichani, as you said, Pat. Are they actually a better team this season than last?
I don't think so. I think losing Lamichani and Harris Ralph and replacing them essentially with Zaya Khan and Billy Stanlake feels like a slight downgrade on both counts. Like, as good as those two players are, I think Ralph was like the revelation of last year's tournament. And Lamichani is just so reliable as that leg spin option. So, yeah. And also, you know, they were going to have Johnny Bairstow, but he's pulled out as well. So that is a blow. I think one thing I would say in their favour is that they have quite a few guys who are just in good form. Like Coulter Niles just won the IPL. Ben Dunk just had a great PSL and got to the final with Lahore. Obviously, Stoinis is brilliant in the IPL as well. So that could play into their favour, that they've just got a lot of players who are kind of in the habit of winning. So that might, you know, with the psychological issues we talked about earlier, that might play into their hands. But yeah, we'll see.
Bottom line it for us, Pat. Who wins this tournament? Who makes a final? Who finishes bottom?
The Scorchers will win it. And I think it'll be more heartbreak for the Stars in the final. And then I think Brisbane Heat will finish bottom.
Scorchers Stars 1-2 is 10-1 with Betfair Sportsbook. And if you think Heat are going to finish bottom, and listen to part one of our Big Bash preview, and you'll probably come to the same conclusion as Pat. They are 6-1 with Betfair Sportsbook to finish bottom. You can also lay them at 1.98 on Betfair Exchange to make the top five.
We continue our Big Bash preview now. Best bets still to come, but harder than finding a winner for the whole thing is winning top bat and top bowler markets. Pat Noon is still with us. Some big price numbers available on these markets. Over to Ed Wood Hawkins for some housekeeping.
Openers won the top bat every single year in the Big Bash, and a non-opener has made the top three only four times. Stoinis won it last year with 705 runs, and then before that, Darcy Short winner in 18-19 and 17-18. Ben Dunk the year before that, Chris Lynn back in 15-16, Michael Klinger, the retired Michael Klinger, in 2014 and 15. Dunk again, the winner before that, and then Sean Marsh, the inaugural winner. So don't bet anyone who bats outside the front two, please.
Okay, that sounds like a perfect moment, Ed Hawkins, for you to tell us who are the potential openers for each team.
Well, for the Stars, Marcus Stoinis is going to open again, but I'm going to come to you very quickly, Pat. Who's going to replace Bairstow as opener for the Stars now?
It'll probably be either Ben Dunk or Andre Fletcher. So Fletcher's the one that they've signed to replace Bairstow directly. So if he plays, it'll probably be as an opener with Dunk at three. So yeah, I'd imagine the top three will be Stoinis, Dunk, Fletcher in some order or another. But yeah.
Okay. Fletcher could be coming in there then. Sixers, we've got Felipe and Hughes. That was a consistent opening pair last season. Strikers, Phil Salt, Jake Weatherald. Scorchers, Inglis and Roy. I think Livingston may be used in that sort of all-rounder role in the middle order. Renegades could go with Finch, Marsh or Harper. I'd like to get Pat's view on that in a second. Thunder will be Khawaja and Hales. Hales finished second last year, by the way. Hurricanes, Darcy Short will be there and will probably be joined by Will Jacks. We can probably rule out Matthew Wade because of his involvement with the Australia test team. And then Heat, we've got Bryant and Lynn.
Okay, Pat, in a second I'm going to ask you who you like from those, and Ed will find us some prices. Also going to ask, does there tend to be a relationship between top run scorer and the teams that reach the final? Or not?
Yes, there is a final. I think Stoinis was last year, and he and Stars reached the final. Short the year before, they didn't reach the final. They were lost in the semis, didn't they?
They went deep, didn't they? So
yeah,
you know, it's about getting most games for your bats. Yeah. You want to be on a team which is going to go well. So I mean, that's why we can probably rule out the Heat. Opening pair, Bryant and Lynn for top openers. But yeah, Pat's right, I think, on that.
Okay, lovely stuff. So Pat, who do you fancy?
Well, I like the two sort of up and coming Aussies, Inglis and Philippi. I think you know, they're going to be there for the whole season. They're, you know, experience in these conditions, obviously know the grounds and that sort of thing. So yeah, I could see one of them. I think I picked Philippi last year, so I'm going to go with him again. It's a slightly kind of rogue pick. I know, breaking Ed's rule just then of not picking openers. I think, like, you can't ignore David Milan given the form he's in. And there's also a chance he might open now with Wade out. When he comes in, even though he's going to miss the first three games, I can see the Hurricanes finish top five, so he might make up those games later on. And yeah, you know, he seems to get a 50 every other innings at the moment for England, so if he can carry that form in, then he'll be a good shout.
Let's hope he doesn't have to do too much running, eh? So that might dry him up.
Just give you some numbers on those then. Josh Felipe, 14-1 with Betfair Sportsbook. David Milan, not far behind, 25-1. Josh English is 33-1, although you might prefer to go with him for top Perth run scorer at around 11-2 mark.
Top tournament bowler now. And Ed Hawkins, it's a chance for you to do what you love doing. Read out some lists.
Yes, names and numbers. I'll try and be as quick as I can. I'll tell you, Daniel Sams was the runaway winner last year with 30 wickets for the Thunder. Tricky market to decipher, but from previous winners, a couple of things stand out. Pace bowlers dominate, particularly death bowlers. No spinner has ever won outright. Rashid tied with Dwayne Bravo in 17-18, and he's only one of three spinners to have ever made a top three finish. All the winners have been Australians. So the winner is an Australian who bowls pace at the death. Pat very kindly provided a list of death bowlers for us to go through. I'm going to list them with Betfair Sportsbook outright prices. Stars, Colton Isle, 33s, Dilbars, 20, Scorchers, Berendorf, 22, Richardson, 16, Ty, 20, Sixers, Dwarshus, 14s, Stark, we don't think is going to play very often, Thunder, Sams is 12, Cutting, 66, Strikers, Siddle, 20, Wes Agar, 40, Heat, Lachlan, 22, Hurricanes, Ellis, 33, Faulkner, 40, Renegades, Richardson, 8, Josh Lala, 80.
Okay, so only one overseas player I can spot among those.
Yeah, just Dilbert Hussain in there. And I think one other thing to add to your criteria of winners, Ed, is that it does less of a correlation between the top wicket taker and the team doing particularly well. So, you know, Sams won it last year. The Thunder, you know, didn't go particularly deep in the tournament. And there's, you know, a few examples like that. So, yeah, I think I could see Sams having another good tournament. I think even though he had a bit of his IPL was a bit of a non-event, I think he didn't take a wicket in three games. He's broken into the Australia team. He's in conditions that he's more familiar with. And so, yeah, I quite like him again for this.
Ed, can we be canny on the odds in any way?
Well said. Because it's such a difficult market to call, we don't really need to be greedy with these big numbers. We can just go into the individual team top wicket taker markets and pick out value there. So as Pat was saying about Daniel Sams, if you like an 11-8 winner, that's what price he is for top Thunder. And last 2 years, this is perhaps not a surprising statistic. He's got the best strike rate of 12.6 last 2 years. But Josh Lala, 15-2 top Renegades. He has got a strike rate of 14.9, so he doesn't have a huge amount to beat with Renegades. He's got a better strike rate than Kane Richardson, which is 15.1. James Faulkner is 4-1 for top Hurricanes bowler, and he is next best on that list behind Daniel Sams on the strike rate at 14.5.
Good stuff there, guys. Big prices pushed your way, so no excuses for a mug bet, you guys at home. By this end of this jingle, we love our jingles, Ed and Pat will have banged their heads together for the two best bets for the entire Big Bash. Stay tuned. Okay, Pat, coming to you first. If you've got one bet on the Big Bash this season, what is it?
I think the Heat will finish bottom. That's the thing I'm most confident about of all the things we talked about. I think they've got top heavy batting that's not even that heavy anymore, and they don't have enough death bowling, and yeah, I think they're going to struggle, so I'll go with them.
Okay, Ed Hawkins, where's your money?
I love it when Pat slags off the Heat. It's one of my favourite things to do at this time of year, so I'm absolutely behind that 100%. And also there's a big groundswell of opinion about Perth Scorchers that this is their year. I think you speak to most people trying to find a winner for this one, they're all coming to the same conclusion. So my best bet would be Perth Scorchers to reach the final at 5-2 with Sportsbook. Thanks for joining us, Pat. It's really brilliant of you.
No problem.
That concludes our Big Bash preview. Don't forget to come back next week on Cricket Only Better for more trends, analysis and best bets as the Big Bash gets into its full swing. And also check out betting.betfair every day of the tournament for every match previewed. See you next time.